You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, no announcements. We go to the scripture reading. It's in Mark today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said to them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And Father God, we ask for your blessing, and this is the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, great. Well, we had a good time. There was a time there when Reuben was somewhere down in Texas, and Seppi was over in Madrid, Spain, and I was somewhere in South Carolina. So we're all over the place. And as you know, it's pretty hard to be certain about when flights are going to make it. And so we had a situation on Sunday where Reuben was to fly in into Oklahoma, and then I was to come in from North Carolina, and we sort of, as far as the timetabling, we were supposed to land about the same time. Well, Reuben didn't make it, and my flight came in late, so I got home about 2 o'clock in the morning. So you can never trust on timetablings when it comes to planes. But it's good to see you all here, and we're so thankful to be back in good old sunny Oklahoma. Great place. And we are enjoying it here, and the refreshing circumstances of being at home. We often talk about how nice it is to be home and enjoy the countryside and everything. We just recently had some deer close to our home. Usually they come, but they come sometime in the wee hours of the morning, and we just see their footprints around in the pasture and dirt. But this time they were there sort of about 6 o'clock in the evening, and so we saw them. And it's quite interesting to see deer that close. And we're certainly enjoying all the wildlife out there. Well, let's pray. Oh, God and Father, we thank thee for this message, Lord, that we can come and listen to the scriptures, that we have the freedom to enjoy the fellowship one with another, and especially as it pertains to the scriptures rightly divided. We ask, Lord, you bless this service in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, we're up to part 9 of The Remnant. Now, The Remnant has been, for me, a very important study, because it brings home some clarity. Now, there are some people who believe in this idea of the right division of scriptures. You know, they come in all kinds of flavors. But there's one very prominent group that believes, so if this is the Acts unfolding in time, and over here you'd have the momentous events of the cross, and then say Acts is beginning with the mention in Acts 2, the giving of the Spirit, and so on. Many of these people who believe in the right division of Scriptures, they say that the church began, when they say the word church, they mean the body of Christ of which they are a part. They say it happened somewhere in the mid of the Acts time, the time which is historically that's mentioned here by Luke as time goes by, somewhere mid-Acts. So you'll find some will say, oh, that means Acts 9, some will say Acts 13, and some will say Acts 17. There's all sorts of fine tunings for this idea, right? But I want to point out, as an application of our discussion about the remnant, that there are some serious problems you're going to get. There's certainly the Acts 2 position, which is very common. That's extremely common. This one, not so common. But amongst those who really come to understand Paul, the group that believes this is quite large. I mean, as a group compared to the Acts 2, they're small. But in amongst those who come to understand and appreciate that Paul has some very important things to say, distinctive things, I guess this group would be the largest. And what they basically teach is that the books Romans 2 through Philemon, they say all of these books here are written and addressed to us, right? And that's their basic teaching. And if you look at their some of their publications, it's very, very confusing as to what they're really meaning by this, because some of their charts, they show the position of Israel, and they sort of have a picture that goes down like this to Acts 28. And it's kind of some of their plots and charts and things are kind of hard to interpret what they're really trying to get at. Now, they might argue, oh no, we're very clear, we know what we're talking about, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well that may be true that they believe certain things and it's clear to them. I just want to point out that if you believe that the church of which we are a part begins here in the mid-Acts, there are going to be some serious problems. And I want to point these out and show you how our study really has brought some light to this particular issue. And those who are listening to this online, you may find this kind of interesting and helpful to show you that, yes, this is not just some theoretical knowledge that we've got and that's all. But there is some very strong applicational things that we can learn. So look at this. This comes from the book of Hebrews. And this is Hebrews chapter number 10. And it's a great passage which we've spent some time on. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. And it says this, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now the interesting thing is, which you notice, that it says, when he cometh into the world. And up here, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, ton kosmon, into the cosmos, he saith. So you notice that it's not when he cometh into the age. No. When he comes in to the cosmos, the creation itself, when he comes into this creation, he says, Thusian, sacrifice, and prosphoron, offering. He did not will that. But there, a body prepared for me. He prepared for me. There was a body prepared. And this word here comes from this idea that there's a problem in the past, and then things have been made and constructed in such a way to fix that problem up. So the body was prepared for a specific function, and it relates to when he comes into the cosmos. Okay, well, that's kind of strong and interesting. And of course, we understand from a lot of the teaching of Paul, especially in Romans, how that relates to Adam. And through Adam comes death, and death by sin. And Christ, when he came with this specially prepared body, which helps us all up in fixing a real problem. A problem that we all face, that's death. We don't want to talk about that in some company. Some company just, no, I don't want to face that. And they just, let's change the subject. I remember receiving a gospel tract one time, which was really straight to the point. And I'm not suggesting this is necessarily the right tract for everyone. But it had a picture of a coffin on it, and it says, "Has your coffin arrived in town?" Yeah, that's the way it began, you know. And it's pretty hard-hitting. But for me, who, you know, I'm a preacher, well, I appreciated it, you know. It's good that we face this. And it's an awful thing, death. But when you see Christ and what he went through for us, man, thank God we can actually look this thing in the face, man. We can look this thing in the face. You ever had nightmares? Oh, when I was a kid, I had nightmares. Oh, terrible nightmares. Terrible nightmares. And I worked this out for myself. I worked it out. You want to stop a nightmare? You look at it, man. What happens when you have a nightmare? Well, you don't look at it, right? You whatever the problem is, whatever this demon is, whatever this thing is that's coming to get you, you don't look at it. But if you do look at it, I mean in dream world, if you turn around and you look at it, guess what happens? Poof! It's gone. It's gone. And, you know, this is like looking into the light. Something happened there, didn't it? Someone's trying to get at me. So something went really forward here. Okay, so yeah, so this is the interesting thing, that a body was prepared for Christ, and it says, when he cometh into the world, he saith. And what he does is he talks about something that was mentioned in the Psalms. But what he does is he changes the words, and he's just talking, right? He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He didn't say this as a quote. But part of it is coming from the book of Psalms. And this is actually here. Psalm 40, verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire. And then it doesn't have a body hast thou prepared. It says, mine ears hast thou opened. Mine ears hast thou opened. And in place of that, Christ says, body hast thou prepared for me. Yes, so this body was totally obedient. From the word go, when he cometh into the world, he says this. Yes, the ears open means, yes, he has a desire to do the will of God. And he's completely in obedience, and that's what he does. This body is a perfect example of obedience. Now, if you go across to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 6, it says, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Yeah, this is backing up exactly right, the idea that he is subservient and he's going to do the will of God, not just talk about it. we've got plenty of examples. We just read from Mark 7 of a good example of where there's a lot of talk, but there's no action, and there's no understanding, there's no desire to go for the deeper things of God. Above, when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings, an offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. Notice, this is just magnifying this idea of the obedience. To do thy will, O God, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. Look at this. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And here it comes, once for all. Once for all. Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Right? But this offering, which was committed in this most perfect example of the will of God being instantiated in this body, because he was absolutely doing the will of God in every aspect, perfect. And so in verse 10, it says, through the offering, so the word offering is in here, of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. Now, if you go back into the Old Testament scriptures and you look at the book of Leviticus, in here you'll see these different heads of sacrifice. There's the burnt offering, right? You get the burnt offering going on there. There's the meal offering. There's the peace offering. There's the sin offering. There's the trespass offering. The trespass offering is really a combination of the sin and the burnt offerings together, because of the special nature of the trespass. But if you look in Leviticus chapter 2, just do that with me. Have a look at Leviticus chapter 2. And I'm mindful of where I started, right? I haven't forgot where I started. Leviticus chapter number 2. You have in here this great passage. It says this in verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering, this is the actual grain and fine flour and so on, unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Now, why is the meal offering, translated here meat offering, why is this here? I mean, it's bloodless. There's no blood here. And yet it's one of the offerings. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It's a thing, now look at this, it's a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. It was burnt up, at least the memorial of it was, and the rest of it the priests would take. They were not given land, they had to get their food, not by tilling the ground, but by being paid for their occupation as Levites, right? And they would get their payment of food and so on from some of this that was to be the offering. Okay, but why does it say most holy? It doesn't even contain blood. Now that is, to me, a question that takes me down a road. I hope you're asking questions about things as you come across them. And we don't have the full answer as to why this is here. But all I know is that within the camp of Israel, there would be some poor folk. Not all riding around in Cadillacs. There are some poor folk. So, they could bring, instead of these big bloody sacrifices, they could bring turtle doves, right? Or in this case, they could bring meal, right? They could sacrifice this. But surely this brings up another issue, because it's called an offering. It's called an offering. Now that offering is actually given by a special name. Now, and this, by the way, is, I'm just giving you a reference here about katatizo, that this is all about how that things are made in such a way through this careful preparation to fix up a problem in the past. Okay, and here it is. Notice the word here. Let me just remind you of it. So here you've got ephapax, and you can see the word hapax. You may have heard of the Greek hapax legomenon. That means mentioned only once, said only once. You know, there's certain words that are only said once in the Bible. And they often have very significant meaning. Like, for example, it's believed that the word susoma, in Ephesians 4, the joint body, that's only mentioned once, and it's not found anywhere else in recorded literature. Isn't that interesting? Why would Paul use a hapax legomenon right there in Ephesians 4? Because there's something special about the body. It's another point, isn't it? There's something very special about that body. Never having had this word before, Paul, it seems, we don't know for sure, it seems he had to coin a new word. He had to make up a new word right there. Okay, so there it is, once for all. And you can see here, I'm just diagramming this for people who are interested. You notice here you've got this adjective here, tes prosphorus. Okay, this is the offering. And then it's got hapax, meaning epapax, I should say, which means once, this offering once of the body of Jesus Christ. This is very interesting. And the usage of the body of Christ, we've seen this before. And what I'm bringing up here, as we go through this, I'm bringing up this idea that even though there was this one sacrifice for all, and the expression for all is not actually in the Greek text, but its meaning is there, the meaning in the context is it's once for all, while the sacrifice goes back and deals with the problems brought in by the disobedience of one, that is Adam, this relationship between Israel and the Gentiles is maintained in this time. So that when you read about the body of Christ during the time of the book of Acts, that relationship is upheld. It's still going on. There is a reconciliation, yes, but it's a reconciliation which is contextual to that which pertains to the problems brought in by the one man, Adam, and our nature and sin and all of these interesting things that unfortunately are on us today. People say, I don't believe in sin. Well, you're not reading the papers, are you? You know, you must have your eyes closed and your ears closed. Because, man, sin is rampant, absolutely rampant today. So this relationship is maintained. At the same time, there is a reconciliation going on. There is a body. Now, let's look at this. Follow this with me, friends. Okay, have a look at Romans. Now, I'm doing a bit of a rabbit trail. This is always dangerous. So, Romans chapter 14, it says this. Romans is one of these epistles, you see, which the mid-Acts people want to say, this is written to us today. Okay? So here it comes. Romans 14. And it says this as we read down. Actually, we read from chapter 15 and verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Okay. So there's some poor saints at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. Debtors. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. That's why they're going to take an offering, right? They're going to look after them in all kinds of material ways, carnal ways. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you. Wait a minute. I will come by you. You Romans, I'm going to come by you to go to Spain, man. Maybe he went to Barcelona. Maybe he went to Madrid. We don't know. But that was his intention, right? He's making his intention known. And that he would use the facility and help of the Roman believers to make that happen. It was his desire to go to Spain. Okay, cool. All right. And go across to... Let's see. We'll go across to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now, right? There's more we can do here. I'm just picking a few things out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. But my friends, there's a lot of ignorance about this. There's all of ignorance as it pertains to the subject that I'm talking about. There was a remnant according to the election of grace, and we have it prophesied that the time was short. And when the time is short, things become urgent. The fields are white unto harvest. Time is short. The time is the end. There are many antichrists in the world, and therefore we know that it is the last time. And when it's the last time, and when the days are short, guess what you do? You get busy, man. And if anything gets in your way, it's got to be dealt with, and sometimes pretty harshly. And you'll find some harshness coming in this context. Okay, coming on down here. And he says this in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit. So the Spirit is working here. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. They all drank into the same Spirit, man. They're all partaking. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. No, it does not mean hasad lashandai ida machindai. It means languages. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, look at it, severally as he will. Quite on the cards that one person might have three of these gifts. Right? Coming on down, it says this. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is the anointing, Christ. That's what it is. Christ is the anointing, the Messiah. So is the anointing. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is therefore not of the body. So all of these things are there to make up the body, and they work together. They don't reject each other. They understand that they're working together. But in this body, there are lesser members. It says this, and it says this in verse 22. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The feeble ones, they're necessary. I told you my experience of having, you know, one of parts of my body removed, and I had this ignorant surgeon tell me that's it was not needed. It's just part of the evolution of the human species that we've gone past needing it, you know. They used to say that about your tonsils and all kinds of stuff, you know. Used to cut them all out. When you had an operation, oh, while we're here, let's cut this out. You know? What you believe actually gets put into action. The same thing with the gallbladder. Now, the gallbladder has a function, my friends. You'll find that out if you have some fat, some oil going down your body. And what you need is a good bunch of bile to deal with it. And if you haven't got a gallbladder, your liver is going to try with as much as it can with drip feed to produce the bile, and you won't get enough bile, and guess what happens? Oh! You know? You got to slam down some cider or something. So it's all working together. And it says this, verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members by part. Members in particular. And God has set some in the church first. Oh, wait a minute, come on. Here it comes. Here comes this church assembly, this ecclesia, which is a group of people. Here it comes. First, apostles. Hold the phone. Hold the phone. First, apostles. If you mess with the apostles, you get treated, man. You get a treatment. And you might have to sleep. There will be no snoring, if you get my meaning. You'll sleep the death, right? Don't mess with them. First, apostles. Secondary, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, what comes after that? Miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So what we have today are people who try to put themselves into that body, which is comprised of individuals, severally with gifts, functioning here together, but they're trying to make it happen with gifts they don't have. They don't have them. And they're trying to get into this body and make it happen. And look what it says. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? See how it goes? It maintains the order. It maintains the order with the apostles. Because they were given a very special job, and the time was short. Paul talks about the present distress. What was stressful about it? My friends, time was running, and it's short. And the last days were at hand on them. And they had a job to do, and boy, they better get functioning. What were the miracles for, friends? This body that was here, what was it made up of? It was made up of individuals with the gifts. And what were the gifts for primarily? The primary meaning and reason for the gifts was to reach the remnant. Reach the remnant of Israel. That's what they were there for. So during this time, Israel was first. And the Gentiles were under the table. Now, if you want to get under the table, what you need to do is you need to get under a ministry that starts the church in the middle of the book of Acts. Because if you get in there, my friends, you're going to get doctrine consistent, or inconsistent sometimes, with what happened to Israel and the Gentiles. The Gentiles were grass. graft into the olive of Israel to provoke it to jealousy. That's their function. Are you grafted into the olive of Israel? Those people who want to teach this doctrine, you really believe that? That you're grafted into the olive of Israel? You're a part of the new covenant, are you? Given to Israel. Are you preparing for food and money and resources for the nation of Israel? Are you doing? Have you got the signs of an apostle? Where are these people? But when you jump the divide, man, when you jump the divide, when you understand that over here was given to Paul, ha Paulos. Interesting thing what the Greeks used to do with names. They would put an article in front of the name. So Paul's name would be ha Paulos, the Paul. The Paul. Hapalos. And here you get the ministry of gold. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. And that means understanding Paul's twofold ministry. That there's a ministry that came after this. And there was the formation of the believing Jews and the Gentiles into one new body. Without all these signs and wonders and stuff, miracles. Look at this with me. Go across to Ephesians chapter number 2. Oh man, come on. An application of our teaching of the remnant. Here it is, my friends. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14 or thereabouts. Let's have a look at it. It says this, for he is our peace, who hath made both the both one. The Jew and the Gentile, he made the both one. Whoa, wait a minute. There was a ministry of reconciliation going on here during the book of Acts. And this ministry takes this verb, katalasso. That's the reconciliation, the verb, to reconcile. There's a reconciliation because of what Adam brought into the world. Yes. But the reconciliation between the Jew and the Gentile, that problem, no, that was not reconciled back here. There was no need to reconcile it because Israel was first and had to be first. Now, when you come over to here, guess what? Guess what? There is a ministry of reconciliation over here too. And what Paul chooses to do is he takes this verb and he sticks a prefix on the front of it. Apo, katalasso. An intensifier, man. He intensifies that beast. And that's what we have over here, man. A new reconciliation where this problem is solved. The middle wall of partition. Yeah. Emphasized in Herod's temple. Right? Smashed. Now the veil in the temple was rent. So yeah. Now everyone can know salvation. We can understand eternal life. Yeah, we get that. That's the ministry of reconciliation. But wait a minute. With the formation of this brand new body, body truth, man, we have a new reconciliation where the both have been made one. Do you dig this, friends? I mean, this is just, if only people had shown me this truth when I was a new Christian, man, all the pain I had to go through. And I'll put the blame on me, you know, it's me. Didn't look hard enough, man. But what I knew was, what was being promoted in the church that I was a part of was absolute trash. And that's putting it mildly, man. Nonsense. people claiming all kinds of spiritual gifts that they did not have and they do not have. And if only I had seen the twofold ministry of the Apostle Paul, if only I'd seen this doctrine of the remnant and body truth. Of course we have to be the body of Christ. If you come after Christ, you need to be a part of Christ. You need to be a part of His body. Because that body was perfect, man. Now the question is, in what sense are you a part of His body? What is He revealing to us? What is our position today? What is our hope? And with this new body, there is a brand new hope, man. The body over here, if you read about it, it talks about the body hope here. Why? It has a relationship, marriage, bride. But over here, the new man. And no, we do not have gender dysphoria. We are not sick in the head. You understand? We're not sick in the head. We are going to allow that metaphors teach us. And by and large, that metaphor comes to us. Now, you know, I had so much more to give you about this business of offering, you see. There's something in here about offering. Korban. We read that in Mark 7. The gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Oh, well, I'll do this next time. Right? Do it next time. Let's not rush it. There's more teaching in here, my friends. It's absolutely cool. It's the coolest thing since sliced bread, man. It's a rock and roll. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got together. And Lord, all the teaching that's here about the offerings and the place of the body, the way that the body truth comes to us and Paul reveals in the Scriptures, rightly divided, we ask that You would be with us and each person here, some, Lord, who may be unwell, Lord, that Your Spirit will work in their lives and in Thy will, that they would be restored. We thank Thee for the reconciliation that we have come to understand and the tremendous truths that we have to teach people. And we ask that Your help would be upon us in spirit as we read and make pronouncements from the Bible. And, Lord, that the website would be used of Thee to reach right around the globe. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.